Well, just a few moments ago, we read from the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, and since we're in the book of Proverbs, my text this morning, or at least two verses, will come out of that book. Turn once again now to Proverbs, chapter 25, and allow me to read verses 13 in your hearing. Again, we have now turned to a new month and a new year. And therefore, I would like to entitle a two-part message for the congregation, entitled The Dawning of a New Year. That's the overall heading, but with two parts, parts one and two, a biblical look to our faithfulness for the year 2017. This is part one. Proverbs 25 and 13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Now, beloved, in the world in which we live today, we like to use the word servant because it's refined. It has an element of dignity to it when you say, this is my servant, or this is my maid, or this is my butler. Even there at the rescue mission, we have a program called SIT, capital S, capital I, capital T. And it stands for Servants in Training. Well, every so often, one of the members that's in the SIT program that may work for myself and Amber there at the kitchen, I have to remind them every so often that the word servant really means slave. And that really causes them to do a little ouch or a little wince. Slave? I'm not your slave. Well, if you're in the SIT program and you're assigned to an 8-hour detail in the kitchen, technically speaking, you're my slave for 8 hours. Doesn't go over too well in our modern mind. But look at the verse again. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger. You have a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. So what is the duty of a slave? What is the duty of a servant? He is to refresh the soul of his master who sends him. Well, beloved, let's put this in a more biblical understanding, far-reaching, eternal biblical context. Is not God our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Master? And are we not His slaves, according to Paul? So then, what is our responsibility as servants or slaves of the great King? We are to refresh His soul. We are to please Him. We are to bring honor and glory back to the one who has enlisted us or drafted us into his service. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 27 and notice verse 18. Proverbs 27 and verses 18. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. Well, that just makes common sense. If you're a farmer and you plant corn, and if you take good care of your field, do you not partake of the bounty of that corn when harvest comes? What if you have an apple orchard or an orange orchard, and you're out there tilling the fields and spraying this and spraying that and brooding over all of your trees and then all over your orchards, and then when it comes time to harvest, you pick them and you're going to enjoy the fruit of your labor. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Again, is not God our Heavenly Master? Do we not wait upon him? What does it say? Whoso keepeth the fig tree, the person who tills the ground, the person who is faithful and honest and has stewardship to the resources that are given to him, and he truly occupies till the harvest comes, whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. so or likewise he that waiteth upon his master, the servant or the slave that does the master's bidding, shall be honored. And so, beloved, do you not desire one day to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Do you not want the Lord to honor you? Is there something wrong or something evil? Is there something selfish in the concept of hearing your Heavenly Father on the day of your judgment to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant? Do you not desire to hear that from Him? Well, beloved, the month of January is named after the so-called mythical god, Janus. Janus had one head. Listen carefully. This god, I believe it was the Romans who had this god, he had one head, but he had two faces. One face, look to the past, look to what was, and the other face was looking to the future, what would be. For many, a new year will cause them to reflect upon the past year, its highs and its lows, the ups and its downs, the good aspects of 2016, and the bad things that may have occurred in 2016. Then for the Christian, you're going to have a lot of victories you can look back at in this past year. Maybe in 2016, the Lord gave you great victory over certain sins, gave you great victory over certain fears and doubts. But for some Christians, they look back at 2016 and they may see a few defeats along that pathway. Maybe there were a few disappointments. Maybe some people disappointed you. Maybe you felt the Lord disappointed you in the way your prayers were answered or not answered. For some of us, our health remained good in 2016. Or maybe in 2016, you were told you have this illness or you have this issue. For some in 2016, riches came into their pockets, while for others, poverty was their lot. For some in 2016, babies were born, and for 2016, some folks died. And the thing that really amazed me this morning when I woke up and I went on my Facebook page, it really disturbed me to see some of the comments made by family and friends on how they look back at 2016. I saw some of the most nastiest, vile language coming out of someone's fingertips on a keyboard posted for all the world to read on how they view 2016. And then for some at the mission who were even given a job by an agency here in town, some of the comments that they uttered about 2016 really shocked me. And these people claim to be believers. And I'm saying, if you have that view of 2016, what on earth are you anticipating for 2017 with such a nasty view of the past? You've already, to some degree, contaminated your view of today and tomorrow. Well, then after a sober reflection, you and I hopefully will look ahead to a new year full of surprises, probably, full of a few mysteries, probably, hopefully with a lot of hope, and maybe with a few dashes and a few sprinkles of fear. Hopefully for the true saint, like you and I here this morning, you and I would have already considered our past year. Okay, 2016 is gone. That's a page in your life and my life that's been turned. We can look back at it, we can criticize it, we can laugh at it, we can praise God for it. It's in the past. Well, beloved, we have now a new year to look forward to, a new year of service. To me, beloved, again, 2017 for this church as your pastor, I would like to dedicate this year with the concept or the idea of being found faithful, not only as an individual believer, but as a body of saints. So with the resolve to address a fresh new year of better service and with a more consistent faithfulness, Allow me to read these words from a hymn that's found in the back of our Bibles. Listen to these words here in this one hymn that speaks so appropriately. Another year is dawning, dear Father, let it be, in working or in waiting, another year with Thee. Another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving Thy presence all the days. Another year of mercies, of faithfulness and grace, another year of gladness in the shining of Thy face. Another year of leaning upon Thy loving breast, another year of trusting our quiet, happy rest. Another year of service, of witness for Thy love, another year of training for holier work above. Another year is dawning, dear Father, let it be, on earth or else in heaven, another year for Thee. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'd like to read just the first two verses first in our hearing here this morning. What does it mean to be a steward? What does it mean to be a servant? What does it mean to be a slave? What does it mean to work under someone, whether in the physical realm or as a Christian or as a member of this congregation? What does it mean to be a servant of the Most High God? Paul here begins this fourth chapter by saying, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Beloved, I would like you to realize here this morning that you may not have a calling to stand behind the desk of God and give forth the word of God, but everybody in this congregation is a steward of the mysteries of God. If you are a true believer of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you have made it your duty and your calling to acquaint yourself with Genesis to Revelation, and as you read and study on your own, and as you come to the house of God to be fed, in the context of all of that, you begin to acquire the knowledge and the wisdom of the mysteries of God, the mystery of His person, the mysteries of His Son, the mysteries of the moving of the Spirit, the mystery in how the Scriptures was actually given to us, the mystery of salvation, how God can look upon someone who's dead in their sins and breathe life everlasting into their souls, and they are risen into new life and they become a new creature. Beloved, everyone in this congregation is a steward. You are a steward. You are responsible to handle and to do something with the mysteries of God. Now look at verses 2. Moreover, it is required. So this is not an option. This is not multiple choice. This is not an issue of, oh, I can take it or I can leave it. It is required in stewards that a man or a woman be found what? Faithful. And that is where I like to go here this morning, this hour and the next hour. And that is the theme that I want to simply burn in our hearts and minds as we face 2017. This will be our 11th year as a congregation. And beloved, maybe all of us need to reflect on our faithfulness or the lack of faithfulness in the past. Consider what was done or not done. But now with a fresh month and a fresh year and a new day, let us meditate and ponder what lies ahead. What can we do better in regards to our stewardship, not only to God, but to one another? Notice, it is required. This is a demand. This is an expectation. This is something that we do not have the right to walk away from. When it comes with regards to our stewardship, we can't. We must be found faithful. I'm not asking you here this morning to memorize the entire Bible. I'm not asking you to go out there and every person who comes within the sound of your voice, you grab by the scuff of the neck and you give them the four spiritual laws. I'm not asking that. I'm asking that you and I be challenged here this morning, whatever your calling may be, whatever your gifts may be, whatever your talents may be, whatever graces and mercies that God has given you that makes you who you are. I'm asking you here this morning in this year that we would place a special emphasis on being found faithful to what God would have you and I to do. Now, with the time remaining, let's consider at least one parable that touches on the topic of being found faithful. Turn with me now to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Jesus gave a myriad of parables. A parable is simply an earthly story, something taken from the earth, something taken from life itself, and then you apply a spiritual meaning or a spiritual application to that particular story. Turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. And allow me to read in your audience verses 41 and following. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward? So notice that Jesus now is going to give us a parable. He's going to give us an earthly story, an earthly illustration, touching the subject of two things, faithfulness and our stewardship. Whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So notice one word in verses 43 tells us what a servant is. He's a doer. He does something. Verse 43, blessed is that slave, blessed is the servant, blessed is the steward, whom his master, whom his Lord, whom his boss, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Beloved, what has the Lord placed upon your heart as something for you to do? Maybe you have felt the burden to teach. Or maybe you have felt the burden to go out of your way and to minister to somebody, maybe within your neighborhood, who's down and out. Maybe the Lord has caused you to be a prayer warrior. You're the only one in this congregation who knows what it is to go into that special prayer closet and bring before heaven a list of names and a list of individuals who are hurting, who are in pain, or who need to be brought to a saving knowledge of Christ. Beloved, whatever your calling is, whether you're single or whether you're married, if you're here this morning, take inventory of what you believe God would have you to do. And whatever that duty, whatever that calling, whatever that grace, whatever that mercy, whatever those abilities and those talents that He's given to you, I am asking you to be found faithful in the doing or the execution of that gift or that calling. Of a truth, I say unto you, verse 44, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But then notice further in this parable, but if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. My Lord's not going to come as he said he would come. And shall begin to beat the men servants and the maid servants, and to eat and to drink and to be drunkard. So here's a steward, here's a slave who doesn't take his calling serious. He really hasn't meditated upon the fact that he is in service, and as we read earlier, it is a requirement, it is a demand of a servant, a steward, and a slave to do the master's bidding. Well, in this instance in verse 45, you have a certain slave, a certain steward, a certain slave who gets in his mind, my Lord delays his coming, so I'm going to simply sit back and play. And he begins to treat people in a very nasty way. And he begins to indulge himself with wine, women, and song, simply banking on the fact his master has delayed his coming, because you see, when the master comes, there's going to be what? An accountability. There's going to be a judgment. The slave, the steward, is going to be brought before his master, and he has to give an account on his stewardship. Well, this individual simply takes the position. He's in delay. I have all the time in the world to finish my calling, but for the present hour, I'm going to have fun. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him. You know what was kind of fascinating many years ago when I was in the military, and you have a bunch of 1- and 2-stripers running around the kitchen trying to put out a meal, and the 4-striper, or the 5-striper, who's the shift leader, needed to walk out of the building to go take an errand. And it was kind of funny that the little 1- and 2-stripers, when they saw that 4- and 5-striper leave their vision, the games would start. And certain meal items weren't getting done. Because we thought the 4- and 5-striper is going to delay in returning to the dining hall. And lo and behold, he would come in the back door much earlier than what we anticipated, and he would catch us holding the bag. Well, the same illustrations here. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when the servant least expects him, and at an hour when he's not aware. And let me turn my page, and will cut him asunder and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. So notice here, this steward, this slave, is placed in the same category with the unbelievers. So this is not talking about a carnal Christian. This is probably a person who thought he was a servant of the Most High. And in the end, his lack of faithfulness revealed the fact that he was nothing more but an unbeliever who had no true relationship with the Heavenly Master above. And that servant, now watch verses 47 and 48 when it comes to you and I. You have to put yourself in one of these categories. I cannot do that for you. And that servant, underline, which knew his Lord's will. So we're going to be talking about someone who knew what God would have them to do. This is not an ignorant chap. This is someone who was well acquainted with the scriptures. And prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. So, beloved, may I ask you a very sobering question, and may I ask all of us a sobering question. How much of God's will for you do you know? How much do you know that God has given to you by way of gifts and talents, mercies and graces and abilities that you and I in the past year just placed on a shelf for another time of opportunity? Or did you and I take the knowledge that we do have, and in the past year, we ran with that knowledge and we did something? But see, now God's given you a new month, a new day, and a new year. What are you planning on doing in 2017 in regards to your faithfulness? Notice the relationship in verses 47. Notice the servant who knew full well what the master required of him. When that servant failed the master, was disciplined or beat in proportion to his or her knowledge with many stripes. And God does discipline his saints. But now notice verses 48. But he that underline knew not. So here's a servant that has a higher degree of ignorance. and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beat with few stripes. So notice, even in God's discipline, God is merciful and God is gracious. God is not the one-eyed cyclops, as many people purport him to be. Notice that the many stripes and the few stripes are in proportion to what the servant knew or what the servant did not know. So to a certain degree, beloved, can I say this with tongue in cheek? There seems to be a little liability in the mix. The more Bible that you and I get to be acquainted with, the more the Heavenly Master requires of you and I. And when we know the things that our Master would have us to do, and we simply fail to do them, then do not be surprised if you and I are beat with many stripes versus the saint who is very immature and doesn't know too much yet. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For notice this, for unto whomsoever much is given, here it comes, ready? Of him or her shall be much, what? Required. What does Paul tell us? In the matter of stewardship, it is a requirement that a steward or a servant or a slave be found faithful. See, in this particular parable, you have two servants. One knew what his master wanted him to do, but failed, and therefore beat with many stripes. The other servant did not fully know what the master wanted or what the master expected, but in his failing, he was beat with few. Here, beloved, when much is given to you, and maybe today you and I might need to take a little bit of inventory and simply ask, how much has God given to you? How much light have you gained from simply reading and studying the Bible from the day that you were saved up until the present hour? How much has God given to you? How much has he placed in your hands? How many prayers has he answered? How many prayers has he not answered to save you from some pain? Because not everything that we pray for, beloved, we really deserve to get. Because you might get more than what you were banking on. But unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, notice, of whom they were what? They're going to ask the more. Even in the military, that concept was well understood. If you're a little one-striper and you just got done finishing boot camp and off you go to your technical school to learn your particular trade or your skill, and they send you off to your first permanent duty assignment, you're just a little one-striper. They really can't hold you accountable for too much yet, because you haven't gotten the knowledge and the experience yet. You haven't climbed up the corporate ladder with your stripes. But for the gentleman that's in the office with the six stripes, and he's the one running the entire duty section, oh, beloved, everybody above him requires a whole lot more out of that six-striper than they would do with the little one-striper. Even that concept is well understood, even in the military world. Well, beloved, what about the biblical side of things? Beloved, many of us have walked with the Lord for quite some time. I would say many in this room have read the Bible probably at least once, if not twice, in your spiritual sojourn. And the Lord has taken you through all kind of harrowing experiences, and you have had your prayers answered, and the Lord has rescued you in times of doubt and fear, in times of darkness. He's come to your aid, and the Lord has given you those mountaintop experiences followed with that valley of deep humiliation. You have walked with the Lord for quite some time. You have been in his word quite some time. You know what it is to go into that secret prayer closet and pour your soul out like David took the water that was given to him and poured it on back to the ground. You've been there, beloved. And guess what? Scripture says to whom men have committed much, of him or her, they're going to ask or demand the more. You following here this morning? That is the concept of our stewardship here this morning. That is the concept that I would like you and I to look at, not only as individual believers, but as members of this congregation, as we look ahead to this new month, this new day, and this new year, that you and I would commit ourselves to a fresh understanding, to a fresh realization of our stewardship and being a servant or a slave of the Most High God. And better yet, a servant and a slave, one to another in faithfulness. I'm not asking for a pint of your blood, but I'm asking you and I to be faithful. Faithful to our God, faithful to our Christ, faithful to the Scriptures, faithful to the gospel, faithful to the truth, irregardless in what direction the world may push and tug against us. You and I will make this year a year to be found to be faithful. When all other men depart from the truth, when all others seem to be apostatizing, when those who were once strong in the Lord are now weak but strong in the world, I'm asking you and I to put our hands to the plow and be found faithful to our God and to our King. Nothing more, nothing less. And in closing this first installment, let's consider now 1 Peter chapter 4. Notice what Peter says. Peter is coming to the close of his life. He knows what it is to be faithful. He also knows what it is to fail the Lord. On several occasions, Jesus had to look Peter right in the face and rebuke him in public over some of the things that came out of his mouth. Would you agree? Even the Apostle Paul had to take Peter to task. 20-some-odd years later, after the ascension, Peter got himself in a pickle with those Judaizers there in the book of Galatians. And there the Apostle Paul had to come alongside and rebuke him publicly to his face and his wavering over the Judaizers and a free grace. Well, look at verse 8. 1 Peter 4 and 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. So can I ask you and I for this new year that's upon us, that you and I would be fervent? Now, the word fervent there in the Greek comes from a word that means to be red hot. It's on fire. It's active. It's not passive. It's active. May I ask you and I that our love for one another would be red hot in 2017? Not just a surface la-di-da love, but a real honest to God, agape love, unconditional love, realizing that we're all unfinished products. We're not perfect yet, totally perfect. In Christ we are perfect, yes, but when it comes to the working out of our salvation, nobody in this congregation has arrived on that happy train in that station yet. And above all things, have fervent, red-hot love and charity among yourselves. Why? For true charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Here's another one. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, without complaint. Now, as every man hath received the gift, as each and one of you and those in the church that are not here this morning, and hopefully you're going to hear this at your convenience, everyone in this church hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Beloved, everybody in this congregation has received the gift. And we are to take that gift. We are to take those graces. We are to take these mercies. And we are to minister one to another. Notice what follows next. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Once again, beloved, here it's Peter We looked at Paul in 1 Corinthians 4. We looked at Jesus' words in Luke 12. Now Peter comes to the forefront and tells us that you and I are not only sons and daughters of the great King, we are not only priests and kings of our heavenly Christ, but we are also stewards of the manifold grace of God. God has given to you, like depositing money in a bank, God has deposited in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, in your being, the manifold grace of God. And God requires that you and I take the gift, take the grace, take the manifold grace of God, and spend it on Him, on one another, and on those outside the four walls of this church. Because He is going to come back at a time, at a day, in an hour that many in the professing church do not realize. And when He comes back, He comes back to do a reckoning of what His servants did with the manifold gift, the manifold grace of God. Read on. If any man speak, if God has given you the grace to speak His word, to share the gospel, to teach a lesson, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, maybe you're one, you know you have a real servant's heart. Beloved, not everybody in the church has that special servant's heart where they're able to condescend and get into the gutter, roll up their sleeves by faith, and get dirty for the cause of Christ. There are some people who can do that better than any one of us can. Notice how Peter is pointing out certain graces, certain abilities, certain gifts. Let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He lists just two here, speaking and ministering. And you can add a whole laundry list of the manifold graces and mercies that God has bestowed upon you. Beloved, when God saved you, He deposited into your life the very life of heaven itself. Grace, mercy, compassion, forbearance. God wants you and I to be like a sponge and simply be wrung out. Let it drip, that it may benefit those who receive it. Are you game? Are you game to all of this? Is this something which is your driving passion? To do the will of God from the heart, without grudging, without complaint, without thinking that God owes you this and owes you that if you do this and that for Him. Simply doing the will of God from the heart, bathed in love, for the glory of God and for the good of others. Are you willing to do that for 2017? And to be found faithful to the graces and mercies that God has given to you. That's all that I'm challenging us to do for this new year. The past is past. Maybe this last year you weren't that faithful. Maybe you squandered some opportunities to be found faithful. Well, then confess it. Repent of it. Get back up. God's given you a new day today. He's given you a whole new month. Just think, on one day of the year, He gives you a new day, a new month, and a new year with a new start. Every year, He gives us that opportunity to reflect, take a sober reflection, make an evaluation of the past, and then look forward for the future. And say, what can I do better this year? Should I read more of my Bible? Should I study more of the Scriptures? Should I be found more in my prayer closet? Should I be out there ministering and speaking and doing and showing this and showing that? What can I do for you, dear Lord Jesus, that would refresh your soul? What does Proverbs say about a real honest to God? A real honest to God, faithful servant, he refreshes the soul of his master. Do you not have a desire here this morning to refresh the very heart and soul of your King who saved you? Jesus was faithful. Faithful to his Father, faithful to his calling. He's faithful to you every day. His sun shines upon you, his smile shines upon you, and his rain from heaven falls upon your head. So here is your first installment here this morning. Simply the teaser of your faithfulness to him. Let's pray. Father, we realize here this morning that in our past year, there are times and seasons when our faithfulness was not found to be so faithful. There were times and seasons that maybe our zeal for you got a little cold and a little stale. Maybe there were times and seasons when we simply thought someone else can do that and someone else can pray or someone else can answer that or someone else can kind of fulfill that obligation. Father, may we come to realize that despite our earthly businesses and our earthly occupations, there is that part of us that has our spiritual duties as well. So, Father, I pray that you would cause your saints here this morning to take a sober evaluation of the past, consider long what was done or not done, and then to take all of those lessons and all of that self-examination and then aim it into the future, and that we would be found faithful to you in this new year that you've given to us. Again, we ask this and plead this in Christ's name.